Hey everybody, today's episode is Small Gods by Terry Pratchett. It is the 13th book in the Discworld series, 389 pages long. It was published in 1992. It is one of two standalone novels in the 41 book long Discworld series. Before we get started talking about the book itself, let's talk about the author, Sir Terry Pratchett. He died in 2015 from complications of early onset Alzheimer's at 66 years old. He wrote, in addition to the 41 Discworld books, he also wrote several sci-fi books. He wrote some YA stuff. And as my wife tells me, I am a complete idiot for not knowing that he co-wrote Good Omens with Neil Gaiman. I was unaware of this, but my wife assures me that that is all on me and is widely known information that I should have known. Apparently, that is why there was not a second Good Omens book, because Neil Gaiman refused to work on it by himself and Terry Pratchett wasn't able to anymore. The Discworld series is somewhere between the number 5 and number 7 best-selling fantasy series of all time, depending on what website you look at. The book sold over 100 million copies between the beginning in 1982 and this last year. So the first book was published in 1982. The final book was posthumously published a few months after his death in 2015. He famously had his hard drive run over by a steamroller as part of his will to ensure that there was no Frank Herbert or Tolkien action where books were published that he had only had rough drafts or notes on. He was a pioneer of the internet age. He had one of the early websites and forums where he could interact with his fans. So last detail on Terry Pratchett, which is important to both this book in particular and the wider Discworld series. He was an atheist. He did not discount that there could be a prime mover or something that's moving the universe forward, but he did not think that organized religion was anything more than the reflections of the men that created it. That's an important viewpoint and theme throughout the Discworld books. There's two real pillars of the Discworld series that's important for this one, and then we'll get into talking about Small Gods itself. The first one is relating to that viewpoint. So in this world, gods are very real, but they are mostly a reflection of the people who created them. They are only as powerful as the number of believers and also how devout those believers are. They also tend to take on aspects of the people who worship them. So if you have a bunch of bloodthirsty savages as your followers, then the god is going to be bloodthirsty and seen that way. A funny note in this book itself is that the goddess of wisdom actually has a penguin as an avatar, not an owl, because the sculptor who originally created the avatar had never seen an owl, and I don't know if they'd seen a penguin or not, but that's what it ended up looking like, and so now the goddess of wisdom has a penguin for an avatar. The second important detail about the Discworld series is that the world is a flat disc 10,000 kilometers wide. It is carried on the backs of four enormous elephants, and those elephants stand on top of the back of a giant sea turtle as it moves through space. This is an immutable fact of the world. You are able to sail off to the barrier islands at the edge and look over and see this. This will be important to the plot line of the book as well, but it is a detail that goes throughout the entire series. All right, let's go ahead and get into talking about Small Gods itself. As I mentioned, it was published in 1992 and is one of two standalone books in the series. I'm going to read the book blurb like I normally do. It is a very, very short one, and once I get done with that book blurb, we'll talk about the book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, "Hey, you!" For Brutha the Novus is the Chosen One. He wants peace and justice and brotherly love. He also wants the Inquisition to stop torturing him now, please? So you can see right away that this book is going to be a humorous one. To quote the great Monty Python in the Holy Grail, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Well, in this book, everyone expects the Omnian Inquisition. The Inquisitors rule the city of Omnia in service of the great god Om. There have been 7 prophets over about a 1400-year period, and each one of those prophets has supposedly brought the holy word of the great god Om, and each one of those prophets has been more and more bloodthirsty and taken more and more fun away from the citizens of Omnia. At this point, basically anything that might be fun is considered a sin and is likely to get you a one-way ticket to the dungeons of the Inquisition. The Omnian Inquisition believes that simply being under suspicion means that you must no doubt be guilty, so once you go down to the dungeons, you're not coming back out. As the book starts, we have a novice called Brutha. He is kind of a little bit of a simple man. He's 17 years old. We're told that's a bit pretty old for a novice in the Omnian church. But he is out there hoeing the weeds when all of a sudden he hears a voice. That voice is talking to him, and he is pretty freaked out, needless to say. He's a little bit worried because why would voices be speaking to him? Most likely he believes it is a demon that's doing so. And once again, I've already talked about just moments ago that the Omnian Inquisition would be very likely to put him into one of their dungeons for hearing these voices. So he's freaked out. He goes and talks to his Novus Master, who tells him that, oh, don't worry about it, you're just hearing things. So he goes back to the garden plot and looks down after hearing the voice again, and he sees a lowly turtle. This turtle just happens to be the great god Om. You might wonder why the great god Om is trapped in a lowly turtle's body. Well, there might be millions of adherents to the Omnian church, but none of them actually believe. They are simply following along with all of the restrictions and things that is put on so that they don't end up in a dungeon. At this point, Brutha, our lowly novice, is the only believer in the entire Omnian Empire. So the great god Om, who once, the Avatar was once a giant bull that rampaged around the countryside every once in a while, is now trapped in the body of a lowly turtle, with only Brutha as of true believer who can actually hear him. Brutha has one trait that is very important as the story goes on. He has perfect recall. He can basically remember everything that's ever happened to him from the time he was born. He ends up coming to the attention of the head inquisitor named Vorbis, who is getting ready to lead a peace delegation to a city called Ephebia. Ephebia is a democracy. Basically, Ephebia is a den of philosophers, and every once in a while create an invention or two that is very helpful to the city. Vorbis wants to wipe out this city because the Ephebians preach that the world is a disc on the back of elephants on the back of a tortoise, which is verifiably true, but not according to the scriptures of the Omnian Church, who insists that the world must be a perfect sphere. No one believes that because wouldn't the water just fall away? Plus that whole looking, being able to look over the side of the world and see that it is on top of elephants, on top of a sea turtle. But the Omnian Church and their seven previous prophets and their seven holy books aren't too concerned with the truth. What their books say must be the truth, and they're going to wipe out anyone that is not a believer. Well, that Ephebian philosophers have managed to create basically a giant magnifying glass that wipes out the invading Omnian fleet. So the Omnians are supposed to go to Ephebia and sign a peace treaty. Well, Vorbis thinks that he's going to be able to use this perfect recall that Brutha has in order to make their way through the defenses of the city of Ephebia, which mostly consists of a giant labyrinth that is constantly moved around. It is full of pits and just treacherous. So Brutha, with his perfect recall, should be able to remember how to get in and out of the labyrinth. Vorbis plans to double-cross the Ephebians and has a secret army marching through the desert in order to try to, you know, take over. But while we're here in the city of Ephebia, we get to see how, you know, different people live. It's really a funny book, and it's fun as Brutha goes from, you know, being such a closed-off, closeted person that believes every word of the Holy Scriptures to a real doubter as he's able to encounter these philosophers and the totally different city of Ephebia. I think that's far enough into the plot. We don't need to go any farther into details, even if the book is more than 30 years old, but you get the general idea of what the book is about. Now, in terms of the good, the bad, and what my own thoughts are on the book, this part of my reviews, usually I talk about the good, the bad, and my own personal thoughts. Now, getting into the bad, the only thing I can really think of, And this one is one of those things that could be from being into starting with book 13, even if it is supposed to be a standalone. There's definitely some jokes that feel like inside jokes that if I had read some of the previous books, I probably would be a little bit more understanding of what was going on. There's talking about a city several times in this that I believe from reading some other stuff is one of the major cities in most of the books. So I think that when they're joking about that, that, you know, I just didn't quite get it. There's a couple other instances where that's the case. And so I think that that's kind of one of those things, though, where when you start with book 13, even if it is a standalone, you're going to miss a few things here and there, you know, if it's set in that same world. I really found it really cool that the gods were real. They were actually there. You could see them in many cases, and that they were shaped by the people who are worshiping them just as much as they shape the people who worship. I thought that the interactions between the no longer so great god Om and Brutha was really funny. The fact that Brutha is the only one that actually truly believes and can still hear the great god, it's funny that he, you know, carries the turtle around with him. And the interactions that they have between the two of them are really hilarious. The great god Om, you know, frequently gets really angry. He threatens to do all kinds of bad things to Brutha and the people around him, but he has zero power, and Brutha mostly just ignores him. I found that really hilarious. I really thought the humor was so well done throughout the entire book. I think the part for me that was the funniest is when Brutha first goes out into the city, and he goes to a bar, and there's a whole bunch of philosophers arguing with each other. One of the philosophers is an atheist who says we don't really need the gods. Obviously, in this case, it's a little different, where atheists generally don't believe in gods at all. But in this case, since the gods are real and you can see them, then you know they're real. But the atheists here just decide that, you know, they don't need to be worshipped. So it's really funny when one of the philosophers is talking about the lightning or thunder god, and suddenly a lightning bolt strikes right next to him, and they're like, oh, well, that god's cool, you know. And then they'll go on talking about another god, and then something happens again, and they're like, oh, well, let's not worry about that god. And then the last god that they actually insult is some like 200 miles away. And so right afterwards, they're all looking around a little bit worried to make sure that nothing bad happens. And when nothing does, they're like, oh, yeah, see that god? That god's useless. I found that there was a lot of scenes like that where I just absolutely laughed out loud. I thought it was really funny. Now, like I mentioned, I really like having the real gods there. And I think that all in all, this is just such a witty, well-written book. I was, you know, I hoped that it was going to be that way, but sometimes it's a little bit scary, you know, when you are reading a book that is from one of the giants of fantasy that you've never read. And for me, you know, it's kind of, there's reasons why, and I'll talk about it in just a minute. As far as my last thoughts on the good, I really thought that Brutha was a great character. I thought he grew throughout the entire story, which was something that I really enjoyed. He started off, you know, as kind of a simpleton. He felt like he was probably autistic. And I think that it's funny as later on it's just explained that since he's remembering so much stuff, that's occupying so much of his processing power that he otherwise seems slow. And I thought that was really funny. Getting into my final thoughts on the book, first of all, I really do love books where the gods are real. And I think that since we should be able to have that in the entire series, it's something that has made me want to read more books in the series. It's funny, my two favorite series are The Malazan and The Wheel of Time. And on the one hand, with The Wheel of Time, there's no active gods. You just have the creator and the dark one, but there's also not really like a big church that's built up as well. So I like it on that. I like that on the one side. And then I like on Malazan, where the gods start off as, you know, human or whatever race they are, and they're mortal, and then they end up becoming immortal, and they ascend into the pantheon of godhood later on. I found that to be really awesome. But I just like for my gods to either not really be there at all or to be really involved. I sometimes I don't love it as much when there's a real established church and you think that the gods are real, but you can't prove it, right? And so I really liked that structure in the book. I thought the humor was just so well done. It was really funny and witty. That was something that actually made me nervous before I started reading the book, because I just wasn't sure I was going to enjoy that. And, you know, I knew, obviously, despite not having read any of the books, what Terry Pratchett was about and what he did, but I just had never read the book, so I just wasn't quite sure what I was going to think about the books. I think the other thing is that reading this one has made me decide that it is worth tackling that 41-book series. It's a little bit daunting, you know, to have a series. You know it's finished at this point because the author is no longer living, but that's still a huge number, 41 books. Even at my pace of reading, you know, I often read 8 to 10 books a month. That still take, you know, a good solid 4 or 5 months probably for me to read it. So I've just never gotten into it before. I generally read, you know, grimdark or epic fantasy, you know, more serious stuff. I have found myself as I've gotten older, especially, you know, now having a family, that I don't necessarily love that grimdark genre quite as much. And I've enjoyed all of these more epic fantasy and, you know, cozier reads at times. So that's probably, you know, a good change that's made me more likely to enjoy reading these books. But I think that as a past, when I've when I have read my palate cleansers, it's been more books like C.T. Phipps, where his novels, they're funny, they're, you know, kind of ridiculous and witty. But most of them, even if they are part of a series, work as standalones a lot better, to where, you know, if it's a month or two in between reading one, I don't feel like I'm missing out. So I am still a little bit nervous about how that's going to turn out if I, you know, do decide to make Terry Pratchett's books for a year or two as my palate cleansers in between reading darker stuff, as to whether I'm going to feel like I'm missing out a little bit here and there. Maybe, you know, I'll add a couple of books a month or something like that. We'll see how that goes. But all in all, I was just so, you know, maybe even a little relieved is the best way to put it, because I really did love this book. I mean, it was a hard 5 out of 5 for me. I stayed up late reading it, and that's one of my, you know, usual signs that a book's going to be a hard 5 out of 5 for me. And I was really glad that I finally read a Terry Pratchett book and that I really enjoyed it. You know, it's just kind of one of those scary things when you're like, oh, he's a giant, right? Top 5. He was knighted in 1998. It's just a solid book. The humor was there. I liked the topic. I just had a great time reading it. And I can't wait to read the very first book in the series here coming up soon. I hope you guys have enjoyed my review. This will be the last of the book reviews for a week or two. I'm going on vacation next week, and I will definitely record some stuff. My wife is a late sleeper. I'm someone who goes to work at 3 o'clock in the morning during my busiest part of my year, so I find it real hard to sleep past 6 or 7 in the morning, even on days off. So I'll probably record several videos while I'm on vacation while my wife is sleeping. I have a couple more of the Spiffbo books left to finish for the end of the year. I've finished one more. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do a review on it. The book was very, very short, only 140 pages, so it's not like it really warrants a 15, 20-minute long review. But I will get that review out, and I'll get a couple of vacation-themed ones out as well. The month of December, I will read one or two more of the Spiffbo books, and then I'm only going to read second, third, fourth books, whatever, of series. I don't plan on starting any more new books as the first of a series, except for those couple of Spiffbo ones. I've really enjoyed reading new books this year. It's the first time I've read too many new books for the last several years. I spent the last few years re-listening mostly on audiobook to the Malazan series several times, the Wheel of Time several times, and just quite a few older books that I had read over the years that I wanted to reread. I reread most of the Mark Lawrence stuff. So this has been, you know, my first time in a few years of reading too many new books, and I'm going to end up somewhere around 60 new books in the last 6 months of the year, and I've had a great time doing it. I'm loving doing the reviews, and I hope to continue forward for many years. Hope you all have a wonderful day. Thanks for making it this far. Please like and subscribe to my channel if you are enjoying my videos, and I'll keep putting them out. Thanks.